Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com with the Catalina Eco Marathon coming up on November 21st. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $65 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or subscribe on iTunes. Our next guest, Misty Diaz, getting ready for the Spartan World Championship. Misty, how the heck are you?
Good. I'm great. Thank you.
Oh, you are very welcome. So take me back. Growing up, were you born with spina bifida?
Yes, I was born with spina bifida. My parents didn't know until right when they had me. So I was born premature, and it was quite a surprise.
Well, and so when you were born, your organs were outside your body? And take me through what your parents had to deal with right at the beginning.
So basically, my spine was completely exposed. It didn't close properly. And there was a sac on the back of my spine that contained fluid and a lot of the nerves.
Yeah.
And just like a big ball, like a rubber band ball that you get from like Staples Center, how it's just like layered.
Wow.
You know, you pick a rubber band off,
yeah,
and you know, you use it. But yeah, those were all of my cords. And they're not supposed to be like that.
And, no.
My bladder and my intestines were all exposed. So it was quite a challenge.
Well, and so obviously doctors who deliver babies, I'm assuming are at least aware that could happen, and are what is their response usually for something like that, and how do they deal with it?
You know, recently, I want to say over time it's changed. Unfortunately, back, you know, I was born in 84, so things were, technology wasn't like it is today where, you know, you can get a 3D and you can get pictures and, you know, you get all these great sonographs. But, you know, back in 84, like I was saying, the doctors back then encouraged, you know, to let nature take its course.
In nature.
And we all know what that is.
So basically, yeah. Let you die.
Yeah, basically. And so my parents, of course, fought really, really hard. And I had 5 surgeries within the first 5 days.
Wow.
And from there, that's when my surgeries happened. But, you know, today I have tons of kids that I mentor with spina bifida, and things have changed. You know, some doctors, you know, are, you know, a little bit of apprehensive. And most doctors now that I've, you know, heard that tell parents that I'm close to is, you know, we can do this, and, you know, your child, because of, I know this person, you know, they live a great life. You know, let's do what we can do. So, you know, times are changing. The more that we talk about it and the more that we educate others.
Well, and we've got Spina Bifida Month coming up in October, so timing-wise, this couldn't be better. Let's talk a little bit about a sport. Through Challenge Athletes Foundation, obviously we deal with a lot of athletes who, you know, didn't know they were athletes and didn't know,
yeah,
that sport was available to them. And we're talking people who are, you know, single above knee amputees like Sarah Reinertsen and Scott,
yeah,
Bassett. We're not talking about somebody with spina bifida. Early on, I'm assuming that sport wasn't really even an option for you.
No, you know, I was in sports, but it was never like someone would pick me on a team. I was never joining a team. I never had, you know, something on the weekends. But, you know, I found out about Challenge Athletes Foundation when I, you know, started running. I had walked my first 5K, and then I ran my first 5K in April of 2012, and I couldn't figure out how to pay for my registration fee, the third race.
It's expensive. Yeah.
I didn't know. Who knew fitness was so expensive? Could have fooled me.
Well, so when you started, you said you ran your first or walked your first 5K in 2012. Up until then, were you active?
No.
Not at all.
You know, I knew that I had, I knew that I had upper body endurance, and I knew that, you know, I could walk from here to there, but, you know, due to having so many, I've had 28 surgeries.
28.
So due to having so many surgeries and unfortunately being on so much medication, I want to say before 2011, I was on like numerous amounts of medication. So my energy level wasn't there, but until finally, like 2012, I got off everything, and I noticed I had all this energy. And if you went outside and, you know, took in some sunshine, and, you know, your whole, you know, mental state, you know, which really has an impact on your body, it changes.
So you found basically that sport is medicine. Sport is eliminated the medicine that you were taking. That, and every time you take a medicine, it affects you in a lot of different ways. It makes you lethargic. It can bloat you.
Oh yeah, and then it has a side effect. And then, you know, you tell your doctor, and that doctor is like, oh, but this medicine will help with that side effect. And then you take a second pill, and then you have twice as many side effects. Or you have a side effect because you counteract two other medicines together. So it's kind of just like putting building blocks upon something that's unstable, and it's trying some more, you know.
Now, have doctors gotten to the point where – it's funny. I was talking to a triathlete who was dealing with depression, and I said, well, did a doctor ever prescribe or say, why don't you go for a walk? Why don't you go for a run? Why don't you ride a bike? He said, nope, never came up.
No.
It was always medication. Same thing for you.
Nothing.
Doctors never said,
never.
Hey, why don't you go for a walk? That will eliminate your need to take these medications.
No one ever, ever told me that. No one ever said, hey – let's give you a B12 shot, you know, once a month. You know, I want you to write down, you know, how many, you know, blocks you walk today, and I want you to see me in a month. I want you to get a dog. I mean, just things that, you know, can improve your life.
Right. And that never was an
option.
That was never an option because, obviously, the doctors make money from medication, so let's get you on medication.
It's a cycle.
Wow. So when you did that first walk, when you came across the finish line and got a medal and a T-shirt, was that a cathartic moment for you where you're going, you know what, I want more of this?
You know, it was a walk for Ronald McDonald. Ronald McDonald Foundation, I like to make clear, is a wonderful foundation.
Yes.
And they help my family out very much. And they help numerous families that I mentor their children today. And I just wanted to give back in some way. So I raised a whole bunch of money, and I did the walk, and not knowing anything, I thought a 5K was 5 miles. I showed up, and, you know, I walked the walk, and I just felt it was a different type of happiness that I've never experienced before. I felt really happy. I felt really energetic, but it was like, I knew I was a little bit tired, but it was like so just gratitude and just excitement that I was able to accomplish something like that and be around positive people.
And now, when did you do the tattoo on the forearms? Dream as if you'll live forever, live as if you'll die today.
That was like 2 years prior, so not recently. The recent one was recently, a year ago.
What's the recent one?
Never Give Up. It's a turtle unicorn.
Nice.
Yeah, more into Spartan racing on that tattoo, but yes.
Okay, so you get into, you'd walk a 5K, and then there's always a progression, right? Once you finish a 5K, it's like, wow, what's a 10K like?
Yeah,
what's a half
you
marathon?
Go online me, and I'm like, well, what's around me next?
Exactly. So what was, take me through the progression.
So I found out what a 5K was.
Yes.
It definitely wasn't 5 miles. And, you know, basically I found a run that was the Seal Beach 5K, April 21st, 2012. And I was just on a mission and fired up to do anything I needed to do in order to accomplish that. And, I didn't know anything. I couldn't even afford a pair of running shoes, and I just didn't care. And, I showed up, and I went alone, and I ran when everybody ran, and I stopped when everybody stopped.
And
it was the most. It was amazing.
Did you use your crutches or what?
Use my crutches. I didn't know what to expect.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I didn't, like, you know, now I have crutches that have padding and stuff, but I had some gloves and some non-running shoes, and I wore a purple tutu, and
good girl.
I carried some water, and I had so much fun.
And what was the reaction? That's the other thing that I think that people underestimate, the positives of you being out there. And you know, one of the positives of our challenged athletes is people can see what's going on, right? There's no, there's no, gosh, I wonder what's going on with that person. They see you on braces. They see you on crutches. They know you're struggling. Might not be able to spell spina bifida, but they know that you're dealing with a physical challenge. How receptive and how supportive were the people in the events that you've been doing?
Up until now, all the races I've done, it has been an amazing, it's something that I've never expected. I really did not go, I didn't go into these, you know, go into this 5K thinking, oh, I can't, you know, wait to see what people think. It was nothing like that. I didn't expect to get such support from all aspects and walks of life that I've met while I'm doing these races. I mean, just amazing people either waiting for me. My hairstylist, I met her at a 5K. She was battling cancer, and she was on her last chemo treatment. And she said that she saw me at my first race ever, and she was just too shy to talk to me. So she waited for me at the third race that I had ever done in Orange County. And her and I have lunch once a week now, no matter what.
And I'm betting you've established a lot of relationships, not only with people participating, but also with kids out there with spina bifida who see you as, listen, if she's doing it, why can't I?
The kids have been one of the most, aside from all of the medals, I think that has been, it is the biggest prize that I could ever ask for, having children. My birthday was, you know, in August, and I opened up my mailbox, and guess what I have? Drawings and letters from these kids who I've met all around the world.
Wow. That is so,
you know,
cool.
And it's so cute to see these pictures, because some of these pictures don't even have crutches when they draw me. And it's just so amazing to see that these kids don't see that, but they see me doing, you know, these things and showing that anything is possible.
So your parents have to be incredibly proud, because you've changed perceptions. Doctors were basically saying she will have no value. There's no reason to keep her alive. And here you are, inspiring people around the world. Have your parents been out to see you do some of these races?
My mother has. My father is coming this year.
Yeah.
But my mom is extremely proud. My grandparents are extremely proud. I don't know. We were just talking today because we're doing something with NBC, and my mom's like, I knew this was going to happen. Like, Mom, you didn't know.
They know now. Yes, she did.
It's Mom's intuition. I'm like, okay.
Exactly.
She's just really excited and happy.
Well, she should be. So talk a little bit about, it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to walk a 5K, and it's on a road, and it's flat, and it's wide, and there's plenty of room. The jump from there to, I think I'm going to do Spartan Race with a 12-foot wall and barbed wire and fire and all of that. What led from 5K to Spartan?
I remember that there was I had won a trip from this running contest, Run or Die, and I entered it, and my video got an unbelievable amount of hits.
Yeah.
And I won, and I won a trip to New York, and I knew that if I was going to be in New York, I needed to run a race. So I told myself, so I picked this race not knowing anything about the race. I just signed up for it. And it ended up being like the fourth hardest half marathon in the United States. And I don't find that until like that day. And I PR'd at that half marathon. And I told myself that once I did that, and since I accomplished that, that I was going to be able, why not do a Spartan race?
I was going to say, what was that first Spartan experience like?
It was traumatic.
Yeah.
It was really, really a deer in headlights times 10. Just imagine this 4'4 girl who's like 85 pounds and long hair looking really, really scared. I went alone. It was 27 degrees.
Where was this?
It was in Malibu, of all places.
27. That's right. You go into the mountains of Malibu.
Degrees.
It can be cold. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to pack. I had read some blogs and such, but I didn't know to the extent that I know now. And I carried a 50-pound backpack. I went alone, and I showed up at this team that I had never ran with before, and it was one of the most terrifying, scariest, exciting, uncomfortable situations, but it was one of the most valuable and just rewarding race I have ran.
What I've seen at Spartan, which I love, is you get to a wall, like you said, you're 4'4". These are 12-foot high walls. You're not jumping up and getting over this thing. You need other people, right? And there's,
yes.
And when you get to the wall, I'm imagining it becomes everybody is helping everybody.
Yes.
And is that what happens when you get to a wall? It's like, okay, let's get Misty over here.
Team or no team, it really is about helping one another and about accomplishing the same goal. And I really like that because, you know, we live in this routine of life where we don't get that support that we do when we're on that course.
Yeah.
We don't. And, you know, we need that as human beings. We need that type of interaction, that type of, you know what, you're doing job. So, you know, hey, would you like some help with that?
Right.
You know?
So how many Spartan events have you done now?
My first one was December 5th, 2013, and I've done a little over 35.
35? What was the toughest one? And a lot of these are, what, 13-plus miles?
So the toughest one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're all tough.
Maybe Hawaii 2014 because we did all three series of the Spartan races in 2 days.
So you did all three races in 2 days?
In 2 days. So we did a little over 25 miles in 2 days.
Wow.
And that's not including obstacles.
What do your doctors think? Because I don't know what in terms of sport for people with spina bifida, is that are you very unique? The fact that you're doing this?
I am very, very unique.
Okay.
I meet a lot of people, or I've come across a lot of friends who have spina bifida who, it's just, it ranges. It really does. Like, I have a girl that I've known for a while because of my journey, and you can't even tell she has spina bifida, but she's in horrible pain.
Right.
You have people who are using wheelchairs full time because their bones are too brittle. I mean, it's literally all across the board. My doctors, I think when I finally started getting into it and I was like, okay, I think I'm going to be doing this for a while now. I thought I'd better go see my doctors.
Yeah.
They told me to keep doing what I'm doing and everything looks good.
Awesome.
So I was surprised and I was thankful and, you know, I just do regular checkups and they tell me not to stop.
So from all the exercise, you went from how much medication a day to what are you doing now?
I was about, I want to say about 20 pills. I'm probably about on 2 now.
Wow. That is so cool. And you feel good all the time.
Oh, I feel great. I feel tired, but it's the normal tired. I feel sore. It's the normal sore.
Yeah, it's that buzz tired where you're tired, but you're tired because you've done something challenging.
Yeah.
You've sort of surprised yourself. How has your equipment changed over the years of doing Spartan? When you go to the starting line of Spartan now, I'm assuming there's no 50-pound backpack.
There is no 50-pound backpack. definitely not. It was quite the learning process. My equipment has changed a little bit. You know, I have Reebok now sponsors me, so I have endless shoes.
Love it. That's
before,
huge.
I couldn't even afford a pair of shoes,
yeah.
And now I have unlimited shoes. And, you know, my crutches have stayed the same, only because I haven't really found anybody to kind of create something that I've had in mind. But, you know, it's a work in progress, and I have a vision, so it's going to be slowly but surely. But I'm definitely not packing a 50-pound backpack. I'm definitely wearing the right things I need to be wearing for these races so I can be out there for as long as I need to be.
So coming up next weekend, October 3rd, 4th, is the World Championship up at Lake Tahoe. So not only do you have all the cool obstacles, and you have NBC there, I'm assuming, covering you, you also are up at altitude, which is always a nice little, you know.
A little over 9,000.
Yeah, 9,000 feet. You know, that between friends, that's not really any big deal. What I mean, just just like sucking air through a straw, you'll be fine.
Sure.
Yeah. So how have you been training for this particular experience?
Well, I've been doing a lot of races and use those as training. I've been training at least every other day, if not every day, doing something, whether it be bike ride. Yesterday, I literally, So yesterday I went to the gym.
Yeah.
And I packed a bag and I told the front desk girl, please check on me at least every hour. And I was on the treadmill for like 5 hours.
Now, when you do the treadmill, do you use your crutches?
I don't use my crutches, so I use 100% legs.
Wow. And do you run or do you walk?
I do a really fast pace.
Okay. Like a fast walk.
Incline. I can run, but I'd have to hold on to one side of the treadmill.
Yeah.
But to be able to use, for me, you know, it's just, I'm grateful I can even do that, you know, like to be able to use my legs to that extent. But I mean, I can use my crutches on the treadmill.
Right.
I can multitask.
Well, and it's funny because I remember I had Bear, one of the top male guys on the show, and he's got a bad knee. So he does high intensity power walking on the treadmill. I think he puts a treadmill at about 50% incline. You know, he puts there's
when, about right.
Exactly. When you're doing high intensity walking like that, that certainly prepares you for something like Spartan.
Yeah, definitely do that. Because we've gotten hotter, I was like, let's do treadmill. But, you know, usually we go up behind Universal Studios and do some hiking there. And we just, I just pack and prepare like I'm going to be out there for some time.
So with something like Spartan and you go doing the world championship and knowing that you're the type of person who's always looking for, okay, what's next? What is next after, you know, you finish Spartan world championship? Like you said, you've done over what, 30 Spartan events. Do you have another goal that you want to take down?
I do. I think I'm going to slowly transition into some more motivational speaking into school.
Nice.
I think I'll keep doing the sport of what I love, but maybe not as much. I think I have enough story for me to to go into these schools and get these kids, you know, educate them and maybe go into hospitals and educate doctors that, you know, the first solution that they think for a child who's born with spina bifida isn't the best solution.
You know, it's interesting, and I've seen this with a lot of other challenged athletes. Challenged athletes are athletes, and a lot of times, you know, I'll be with Rudy, who was a double above the amputee, and he pulls into a handicap spot and gets out, and there's nobody who's more able than Rudy is, but he's still disabled.
Yeah.
And you see people looking almost like they're not quite sure. Gosh, he's got those brace things, but man, he's parking in a disabled spot, and that shouldn't be. You deal with that at all, with just people not understanding?
It's so funny that you say that. I just posted a blog today on my website.
Really?
It just went up today about something that horribly something that happened to me recently.
People can be rude. I've seen it.
Oh, man.
And I've seen it. And it's funny because, you know, obviously I'm pretty sensitive to it because of the Challenge Athletes Foundation. So I'll see a car parked in a disabled spot. But, you know, and it's like, okay, you don't know until you see the person. And a lot of times you don't even see the person. You don't see what's going on. They're wearing long pants, whatever it happens to be. If they've got a placard, they're supposed to be there. Right? And if they've got plates, they're supposed to be there. Period.
It's never, ever, ever assume. I've learned that more and more so.
So you'll catch negative from people.
Oh man, you have no idea. I had some woman and her husband both literally go off on me.
Really?
While I was in the car with my dog, I was grabbing my bank stuff and I didn't have enough, like I couldn't find something, so I had reached, bend over to the other side of the passenger, and by the time I peeked up, they were literally at my window saying things that they shouldn't be saying.
Wow.
And just completely going off on me about how I am disrespecting people with disabilities and how, you know, I have just, it was horrible things I can't even repeat. But
wow.
Yes.
and at that point, you were in the car. They didn't see you.
I was in the car.
They didn't see your legs.
Over. Yeah. I managed to, like, I was, like, tearing up because of the things that they were saying. They were literally just tearing me down. By the time they came around, this gentleman, and I will never, ever forget, and it just goes back to don't ever judge, this gentleman who was completely tatted up. I mean, completely head to toe.
Right.
I saw him from a distance by, you know, where I was parked, and I saw him look at me, and then I saw him see how these people were treating me. And when came around to my side, I had barely just enough time to get out of the car with one of I have two crutches.
Yes.
So only grab one crutch. And I literally, like, I didn't, my first reaction was to want to yell back.
Right,
and the
of
only
course.
Thing that I could, because, you know, you want to put a defense. Like, you know, you want to defend yourself.
Of
and
course.
The only thing that I could get out of my mouth was, is this disabled enough for you?
And now they must have been embarrassed.
They didn't apologize. They didn't anything. But the look in their eyes was like that deer in headlights.
Oh, my God.
And the
God.
Gentleman, you know, they ran inside of the bank. The gentleman comes out of the bank, and I don't know what this gentleman is going to tell me. You know, you
automatically could be just he could be just as bad, right? He's
That's
a
what I'm
big
saying,
old tatted guy.
Know.
Yeah.
And he comes up to me, and he's like, I saw you when you pulled into the spot, and you had this huge smile on your face. He's like, and I saw what these people said and did to you. He's like, I've never seen something that bad happen. He's like, I just want to tell you that not everybody's like that. And have a great day.
Wow.
And I will never forget that. Because you don't expect it. Like, you would, you know, I mean, I just, you don't expect it to be that way.
You sort of would expect it to be just the opposite, because you'd expect the tatted guy to be like a jerk.
Exactly.
And this older couple who's obviously, you know, might be a little, the fact that that they deal with disability on an everyday basis would be like, oh, we're so sorry that you're having to deal with this. But it was just the opposite, where they were jerks and the tatted guy was incredibly supportive.
Complete opposite. It's so funny you just mentioned that. I just put that on my website. Yeah,
that is wild. Well, you know what? That's the I've seen it, and I remember being at the JCC with Rudy coming out of swim class, and you know, just you could tell this woman was waiting for a disabled spot, and sort of looking at Rudy like, I mean, a guy's got he's got the Olympic rings on his shoulder, and you know, she's thinking, what's this guy? You know, why is he in my parking space? And the reality is that he's a challenge athlete. He's got disabled placards, and he should be there. I'm imagining that's pretty rare for – I bet most of the people you deal with – because a lot of people who have challenges find it easier to basically stay out of the limelight, to stay at home and a little embarrassed, don't really – wearing long pants, don't really want to show anything. This is a different era where people are proud of who they are and what they represent, and someone like yourself – you're making a statement every time you get out of a car, every time you go to a Spartan race, every time you go to a 5K or whatever you're doing, you're basically saying there are no limits and I'm the same as anybody else with the same rights and the same level playing field to go compete in.
Very true. Yeah.
When you look at your journey, the journey from being born with your organs outside your body, your spine outside your body, and now – you're not just an athlete, but you're going to be a showcased athlete, possibly in the NBC show with the Spartan World Championship. This is the best of the best. You haven't just, you know, sort of made it. You've made it. How do you feel on a daily basis?
Somebody said that to me today, and I just laughed, and I was like, okay, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
And I don't ever forget. I still have a pair of shoes that with my first race that were not running shoes.
Right.
Like, I still have them. Like, I'm not going to throw those away.
That's good. Save those.
Like, I need those. I need those as a reminder.
Exactly.
Like, I'm grateful. I've worked really hard. Like, no one is, you know, I've had people help me. I've had sponsors, challenge athletes say, you know, here's another grant for the year. But I've had to do all the footwork.
Of course.
And I've had to do all the training.
And you
I've had to sacrifice so much.
And you had to change perceptions. You had to change perceptions. You had to change perceptions of what somebody with spina bifida could do. The same as the first wheelchair athlete who came out to a race, or the first amputee.
Yes.
It's you need to show people that you can accomplish something. Then once that happens, I always call events something like Spartan Race is an equal opportunity abuser, right? It doesn't care how big you are. It doesn't care how small you are. It doesn't care what your challenge is. It's going, here's our barbed wire. It's sort of a metaphor for life, right? Here's our challenges. You start at point A and you need to get to point B. And here's what's in your way. It's almost like these are the obstacles in your life that are going to be in your way today. And can you get past them or not? Pretty simple.
Exactly. I like that. I love how Spartan Racing offers that diversity, and the way that each person accomplishes the obstacle it's not always the same.
Right.
They're doing it together.
It seems like from the events I've seen, there's a family atmosphere there that is unspoken. But while these races are competitive, people are competing in their age division. At the end of the day, it's you and the other athletes against the course, right? It's you against yourself and your doubts and your what you feel are limitations. What have you gained from the Spartan experience?
What have I gained?
What have you gained?
What have I gained? I've gained acceptance within myself.
Mm.
And that's taken many years. It took many, many years for me to own a full-length mirror. And
that's
I just
cool.
could never just stand in front of the mirror and be like, you know what, you look great today. You know what, that haircut is, you did, you know, looks good on you today. Like, you know, just things that people do on a daily and they look in the mirror. You know, I finally have gained acceptance where I'm okay with who I am. It's given me so much. It's made me just meet these amazing people, and it's given me just, I could go on.
Yeah.
It's given me acceptance. It's given me love. It's humbled me. It's made me train and work hard in a different way that most people don't get the advantage of doing.
I think you summed it up with the full-length mirror. Basically, you're saying before you'd look in a mirror of your face and work on makeup, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you know what? I like all of me. I like all of me, and I like all of me, and I like what I've become.
Exactly.
So as you were – as a kid – how tough was that? Were there kids can be cruel? Were you picked on? Or did you have?
I was bullied. I was bullied, and I was pulled in and out of school a lot. So I ended up doing homeschooling for all of my high school. It wasn't, you know, back then, you know,
people didn't know.
There's no education, like, you know, like today they'll kind of have seminars, you know.
Sure.
You know, I've been very fortunate to go into schools and say, hey, you know, can I please have a half an hour of, you know, so many class times and let me educate them and I'll leave. But it wasn't like that back then.
No.
Nobody came and said, hey, you know, here's a wheelchair. You know, I want you guys to play with it. I want you guys to sit in it. Here's a pair of crutches. This is what it does. This is what it helps this person do. And that's what, you know, I'm grateful for the fact that looking back, I am grateful that I had to kind of grow through that because now I get to go into schools and I get to bring those props. And I get to, I know what better person knows how to educate a classroom because they were bullied in the past.
That's so cool. Misty, thanks for everything you do. You've been such a great representative of Challenge Athletes Foundation, just being out there, being a role model, I've seen photos of you with other kids with spina bifida and making them realize that, you know what, it's everybody has challenges. Yours is visual, and it's something that you can overcome, and you can make what's the old make lemonade out of lemons and create a great life. It just sounds like you have a great life.
I do. And I just, you know, again, thank you so much for Challenge Athletes Foundation. I there's no way, and I always say this whenever I go, there's no way I would have gotten this far without, you know, CAF here.
Ah, you're the best.
Thank you.
Hey, Misty, have fun at Lake Tahoe.
I will.
You are going to be awesome. I can't wait to see the TV show from there. That's going to be really, really special.
I will. I'll definitely let you know when.
A perfect. Missy Diaz has been our guest. We're brought to you by Ironman U, RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation, where we have raised over $65 million to keep athletes like Missy Diaz in the game of life through sport. iTunes, you can check out any of our interviews there and subscribe, or check out BabbittVille.com. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.